few times, and then a couple times we had to mute.
Yeah.
To not be dying. Oh my gosh, it was bad. And we just were like, I hope this doesn't happen at the same time.
Yeah. Mute button is awesome.
I've got Brom fever. Welcome to the Boyle Sports Handsome Hour. It's a season, regular season ending edition of the Handsome Hour. 12 games in the book. Another Danny Hopish 6-6 record, but it didn't feel like a Danny Hope 6-6 record.
It was much more adventurous.
In Minneapolis. No, that's not nice. I should stop making fun of PJ because he's earned his coin a little bit this year.
No, at the end of the season, that was strong, man.
This is Jay. I've got Boiler Dowd, and I've got Swami.
That's right.
From Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of great, great college football
teams. Great programs. Listen.
Hey, they're in the ACC title game, man. Yeah. Hey, man.
Programs
they got a big chance at the playoff, I think, right? Don't they just have to beat Clemson?
Yeah, that's how it works. You just play it in. It's a play-in.
Their spot. Now, that would be something.
That'd be good.
You want to have conference championships?
Auto bids. Exactly.
Well, or keep it as it is. But if you're one of the teams that they think the college football committee thinks is a playoff team, like Clemson, and Pitt beats them, then Pitt gets a go.
Right?
Or relegation. You get the five auto bids with the regular, just like they do in March Madness. You get the five auto bids, and then the rest is it like knocks Central Florida out or something like that. Like, you know, because then it takes.
Well, you'd have to, and you'd make the committee make the difficult decision. Like, do we invite three more teams from the SEC this time, or do we actually invite somebody that's earned
it? Of course we do.
Yes, exactly. They'll invite the SEC.
Why wouldn't we do that?
They'll invite Penn State, Georgia every time.
That's right. And Notre Dame, even. I mean, that's the thing. It could become like.
Well, they do have a little bit of an argument that Georgia and Alabama have to play this weekend. That's kind of stupid, isn't it?
It's not great.
Doesn't Georgia have a loss already?
To Alabama, I think, right?
Okay. Yeah, but you lose to this Bama team. I don't know, man.
I agree, but it's kind of crappy that they have to play right now. They're both probably close to
they lose to them again, so they're going to make it three times. You see what I'm saying?
They'll play them in the playoff, and they'll get another chance. Just
keep Purdue will have this dilemma next year.
Oh, I can't That's wait. Right.
You know what I mean? Purdue's playing Michigan. Both of them should end up in the playoff anyway. Does it really matter this week? 2018. I
mean, it shouldn't be hard to Purdue should have no trouble with Michigan in that scenario because Purdue would.
You know, score 100 on Michigan, right?
That's how it works, right? I think
the transitive property in sports always is real.
Yeah, they doubled up Ohio State, and then Ohio State quadrupled up Michigan, right? So tripled up Michigan. So then, that's exactly
what happened. Yep.
Oh man, Harbaugh does not seem to have the answers. That is, gosh.
Yeah, it's not great for them, but it's fine. Who cares? Who cares about
wonderful.
Them?
So yeah, much fun. Down. It's so much fun. And I think I used to take things more personally because a lot of people are using the Purdue loss against Ohio State and saying things like, oh, these boys get lost to Purdue. Okay, well, Purdue's a bowl team and has some pretty great players, you know, players.
I'm fine. I don't care.
And it's like, you want to make that argument? That's fine. Yep, but I think it's funny because that's Ohio State's problem to deal with. And, and what I think is funny is Ohio State has earned enough dislike that when you look at what they've done, They're what, 11-1, and they're going to win the conference, and it'll be 12-1, and people are going to be arguing that they shouldn't be in the playoff because they lost once. It's funny to me.
That is a great scenario. If Purdue, you know, if the Spoilermaker name can mean anything, it's knocking that team out of the playoff.
Yeah, remember that.
Exactly. Remember that. Always know that we're here and we're over your shoulder with a scary Pete mask.
And you know what? Maybe that game, that win, I think this is what we were all thinking that night and what we're hoping now is that becomes the, I don't know if it's the springboard, but it's what you remember about, you know, the Brom signature win, the start of the Brom era, right? Rondale Moore having the best game he had all season against, you know, big time player, big time game. And you know, when Brom, Purdue became, sure feels like Purdue became Brom's place, right? That night.
Mm-hmm. You hope. That's hopefully that's what we remember it for.
Because he wants to be here for the future.
That's what he said. So let's first talk about the game. I heard we won.
Well, I think it's interesting that Purdue has had two straight years of white knuckle IU wins, right? Now, I know the game was relatively in hand. This was a 2018 Purdue game, right? Where you never really felt great, but they kind of kept them like IU was never going to win that game.
And the final score, the 28-21, it wasn't really like it was a 14-point win with a garbage touchdown. Yeah, with the garbage touchdown. But yeah, a little bit of nerves.
And at 2 years in a row of that, and you know, I was thinking about this today. Again, with Brohm having quite a few of Daryl Hazel's players, you could probably argue the talent is not that uneven between IU and Purdue right now, still. Right? I don't think Purdue is so supremely more talented than IU right now. I think the coaching is just that much better.
I think you could actually argue if you really wanted to analyze the recruiting classes, IU's talent is up from Purdue. Yeah. The last couple of years, they've beaten Purdue in recruiting. And head-to-head battles, they've beaten Purdue in recruiting pretty consistently, actually. Right. So, yeah, you could make that argument. I mean, the whole thing is about getting players in the places where they fit. And Purdue's got a couple guys in key roles that are very important, that do very well and clearly fit at Purdue. Markell Jones is the, for that game. Is
Mike Allstott. Present day Mike Allstott. He loves to play IU.
Well, I mean, the reason he loves to play IU is that's a self-inflicted wound. It sounds to me like he was never going to go to IU just because of what he wanted to major in. And I can't believe that IU was smart enough to say, well, that's why we're not going to recruit him, just because that's kind of inside baseball, especially for a kid who's a junior in high school, right? They didn't even talk to him. He was in Columbus. I mean, that's enough reason for especially a young kid and a guy with a chip on his shoulder like me. I mean, I'm just kind of transposing a little bit, but I get why he was angry. And he showed that he was angry, and he ran like he was angry. And the funny thing, the thing that I think about, and this is maybe just kind of glass is half empty type of guy here, is, man, why couldn't he have ran that angry for a couple other games? Because clearly versus IU, he was in his zone and he was ready to play. Other games, you know, he was patient. And some games you could tell he came in and I didn't have the stuff, you know. Like let's compare DJ Knox off day versus a Markell Jones off day. Okay. A DJ Knox off day, he'll keep going, right, until he breaks one like he did versus IU. I think that's generally his MO, right? Keep pounding and then you'll get something. Markell Jones, some games he'd come in ineffective and almost disinterested, right? And you're like, oh, nothing's going to happen today. But you could tell that from that first carry versus IU, that is a bad dude. That's the guy who was, you know, one of the best players in the state of Indiana when he left high school.
Yeah, and I'll take that. You know, I'll take that every year we get the annual game of Markell Jones. I don't mind that because at the end of the day, DJ Knox was the workhorse and Markell was kind of the show horse, if that makes sense. And it's a good combo to have as long as you have both of them. Now, next year is going to be interesting, but next year will be interesting for many reasons.
I've been trying to think, get my head around that situation, the running back situation, since the last down of the IU game. I mean, like, I'm like, okay, well, Worship should be fine. He should be playing next year. And obviously Fuller's got another year, some flashes of greatness and he'll be good next year. But they're gonna have to get creative and they're gonna have somebody rise. I mean, Horvath he'll have to take some carries. He's been solid. He doesn't fumble the ball, but he's not gonna break anything. You know, maybe they actually have somebody who, you know, get this, can run straight forward on fourth and short.
Yeah, break the line. Well, and the line, you know, line gets a year older, which is good.
They lose some though.
Not quite as bad as it could have been, but yeah, it's you lose some institutional knowledge on that line, and that's the biggest on fourth and short on these kind of calls that we've been frustrated with all season. Fourth and short, you need the horses up front, you know.
So fourth and short, and I know I think Brahm has said it, and I know we've all said it, is you feel a little better with a bigger quarterback sneaking the ball straight up the middle. Barron is going to make some money playing football. He may not be a starter in the NFL. He's going to go play in the NFL. And he may earn a starting role eventually. But if you put NFL lineman, you know, have him have the quarterback get under center and just say, all right, we need a push of a foot or two. You would think that should be able to happen, but Brown didn't, right? I mean, that's the thing. And he showed it over and over and over. The fourth down calls, man.
It's the whole scheme. Like the line has to be kind of in sync, and the line has to be, you know, the cumulative talent of the line has to be there. And the fatigue will hit when they're, you know, have depth there. You can't cycle players out.
Yeah, in, yeah, especially, that's probably the biggest problem.
Especially playing a fast style. And the other thing is Brom wants to take bomb shots. You know, Brom wants to play Madden offense, which is why we like him. You know, that's why we like him here. That's why he's entertaining. And so we'll take that. If every now and then it means that Purdue goes, you know, that back shoulder throw that Blau put on Rondale Moore a couple times into the end zone. Yeah, I'll take that.
I think
here's an interesting thing about those deep Rondale shots. Gosh, darn, easy for me to say. Is really, if you think about it, they don't send Rondale vertical very often, right?
I was thinking that too. They really don't.
And they really did. In the IU game, they're like, okay, we're going to do it. And I don't know why they waited. So.
Well, I think, could it have been that Brom was easing him into, silly as this sounds, early in the season, he's a good possession receiver too. He's a good slot guy. He's a good dump off guy. He's a great guy to throw a nice short confidence building pass to for your quarterback who will then break it. Who you like? I don't think if you throw a pass to Terry Wright out in the flat or out, you know, with defenders zeroing in on him, he's going to shake them all.
Right.
But that's always an op. That's always possible with Moore. We've seen that, right? So you send Wright and Zico deep. Right, you send them on the go routes.
Clear some people
because you got to cover them because those guys have shown now over the last year or so that they can catch balls.
Right,
and then
Blau can put it on the money. He's a great
ball. So I think that's why he does that, because I think if you throw a ball out in the flat to Terry Wright, he's going to get caught. As fast as he is, he's going to get caught. He's not.
He's not much of a water bug, right?
Man, the moves though that Moore, like you and I talked about last week, that Nish, you weren't on with us last week to talk about that insane spin move against Wisconsin, where beautiful. He broke the DB in half. The guy looked like a ragdoll the way because he just didn't think Rondale would move that way.
I mean, I'd like to see one other person try to tackle Rondale high.
You heard us say we're gonna.
We loved it. You tried it again, season. Right?
Yeah, that's right. We're gonna do this. This is gonna be at our tailgate. Actually, we'll set up a booth. Yeah, exactly.
Further in advance than an hour before our visit.
Yeah, if we charge money, it could be entertaining for people to watch us get concussions. And if you guys drink like you did this year, you won't feel a thing. So it'll be fine.
No, exactly. We'll invite PU Fall City's Mike.
And, exactly. It's a lesson in the blow.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. We'll be celebrating with Louisville's drink.
Well, there was one play that was especially noteworthy to me on Saturday, and this is a weird thing. It was noteworthy because it felt exactly like a brain fart. The previous offensive coordinator, everyone loved him from Chicago.
Nordfins.
Okay. So Purdue was on like the 10. I think Blau was either under center or like a pistol set. He throws it out to Zico on the right side, short side of the field, and says, go ahead, beat three people to get the first down, because it was an awful design and play call time, right? And Zico makes one guy miss, spins around the other, beats a third, gets a first down. And I was like,
good call. Okay. Well, that's
perfectly.
Hey, Purdue's wide receivers coach doing a pretty good job.
Oh, Shepard's a genius.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
I was actually really, we'll talk about this later probably, but I was actually worried that Western Kentucky would, regardless of whatever the Brom news would be, he's going to be head coach one day, I think.
Oh, he will be someplace.
I mean, he could be a head coach again next month.
Yeah. Well, I think, well, we'll see. I was going to say, I don't think of any openings that he would be up for it. Yeah, maybe one or two
perhaps.
Yeah, maybe I can think of one or two.
Yeah, that's what Anisha's buddy, Rick Bozich down in Louisville, suggested Brian Brom for the Western Kentucky position.
Maybe he's just cribbing from somebody's notes here, Rick Bozich.
Sounds like it.
Sounds familiar.
Welcome to the show, Rick. I'm sure you're listening.
Oh, this gallows humor is great as I continue to refresh.
Exactly.
Brian Newbert. Waiting
for news, any news.
Exactly.
Of course, Brian Newbert, as we record this on Monday night, had to toss a little chum in the water and say, you know, well, something might happen, but we'd
something might not happen.
Something might not happen. Don't do that. Stop it, Brian. Stop it.
Well, did you see? It was great. I went on Knucklehead, which I don't go there very often, but I went on tonight because I thought this might be entertaining. There's some, I'm sure there's some level-headed conversation going on.
Oh yeah.
And so I go on there, and a guy tells everyone Purdue has made him a great offer, and he has until tonight to accept it. So think about this. Or they're gonna fire him?
Yeah.
Is that what this guy is trying
take
to do?
Take it or leave it, man. Take it or leave it, my guy.
If you don't want it, go to Louisville. Oh, wait a second.
Hit the road,
wait
Jack.
Wait a second. Great take.
I
and then he's like, yeah, I've got a great source. That's all you need to know. So I was like, oh, look, Dan Dockich is here. Awesome. Sweet.
Dockich, no knucklehead.
Dan Dockich, you know what? We've been trying not to interact with him that much, but
do you think he has a way to search his name in podcasts?
100%. He's listening right now. Hi, Dan.
I've become convinced that he's nothing more than an IU troll because he said the thing he said about Swanigan and was wrong, and that riled up Purdue fans. He said this thing about Brohm to the point where even Brohm, I mean, I don't think this was made up. Brohm was agitated that happened. And that was then written about on Golden Black. It was written about a number of places that said, you know, a publication or a radio host said this was a done deal, and it caused Brohm to have to refute it. Like, this is Dockich just doing IU's bidding, because as Greg Doyle's article yesterday pointed out, and I thought it was a great point. He said, you know, these IU fans and these Louisville fans especially, who say, oh, he's going, they have to believe that. And I thought that was a great point. They need to believe that, because the future is not bright for either of those programs if Jeff Brohm stays at Purdue and chooses Purdue over them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there was somebody tells me that Dockich has a radio show. I've never heard it. I don't know what that is.
You know, it really, I think, I don't know if I brought this up on the chat of the podcast. Doesn't matter. I'm going to bring it up anyway. It strikes me as interesting that just utterly fascinating that an ESPN employee, a major ESPN employee in a major radio hub, you know, Indianapolis is a major city, yep. You got two major professional sports teams, has two big college teams, ties to three major college teams, and if Butler, if you want to say Butler basketball as well. So Indianapolis is a major market, and one of the major stars in the, like, hosts of one of their major market shows reports something, and not a peep from the ESPN scroll, not a peep from anybody on ESPN.
Didn't report it.
Because nobody believes anything that comes out of his mouth, which is both interesting that ESPN would still continue to cut him a check, and that ESPN would not trust him enough to run with anything.
I have an answer for that, though, and this is like what I mentioned, or I put it on Twitter, and then I was talking to you guys about it too, about Ken Sterling, who I thought articulated that sort of thing better. He said, I have one source who told me that he's going to go to Louisville. And he actually said in his little video blog about it, he said, but I don't have a second source to corroborate it, so I am not going to act like I'm reporting it, which I thought was pretty transparent, like a little peek behind the curtain to say, I do think this is going to happen because someone told me it is that I trust, but I can't verify it. That's what a reporter does, right? They say, and that's making it clear that you're saying, hey, I heard this, but I can't tell you guys that I'm certain of it. I actually respect a ton more.
Yeah, but that's a little more respect. You don't say it. If you don't have anything to report and you are in the business of reporting or tangential to the business of reporting, don't say
entertainment is different from reporting. And ESPN has lost control of that long ago.
There's no doubt about that. But I think the problem is Dockich might not understand the responsibility he has.
No.
That's the biggest
thing,
right?
He's not a reporter.
Well, I'm not a reporter. I had a source last year that we talked about, right? Remember when I said a friend of mine who's a Kansas grad?
Yes.
I told you guys, right? So, I came out later and told the story after the Kansas stuff came out, but I came out
way before it. Right. You heard about it.
I mean, it was a year before.
Yes, but you couldn't corroborate it.
I couldn't corroborate. So I didn't even talk about it. I didn't say a thing other than something from a major program may be announced soon. And everybody thought I was just blowing smoke. And I'm like, I don't know what else to do other than this would be huge, right?
Right.
And guess what? It was huge, but the NCAA doesn't care.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Bill Self's a massive cheater. All of the Kansas alums know it. But guess what? The NCAA gives no shits. Goodness.
Well, not everybody can be like Roy Williams.
Yeah, exactly. Good old
Roy. Good old Roy.
Good old Roy. Dodging. I mean, it's nearly criminal. Fair. Syracuse had to pay a price. North Carolina gets a national title for doing something worse. And it's the same crime. I mean, what a bunch of crap.
It's a good system is what we're trying
to do. Yeah, it's great. It's the best.
It's a good system. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
That was awesome. That was like three tangents in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, what I'm trying to say, it's good that Purdue won the bucket.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
All yeah,
right. It is. It's. I love, there's so many elements of that. Like if you could take away the all the Brahm drama and everything, the Brahma. There's so many parts of it that I love. And one is that I use history, you know, like Purdue, if you go into the new facility, right, there's that section where it's got den of defensive ends, cradle of quarterbacks, you know, Big Ten championship trophy from 2000, like all these bowl memorabilia, right? IU has no such history. So they have a sad little glass case in the middle of their locker room for the bucket in the locker room, which, okay, I'll give you balls, like there's some stones there to say, we're going to put it right here and we're going to focus on getting this back. I respect that, but it's so sad. I mean, that's your goal for the entire season. And that's part of the reason you're 5-7, because that's your goal is to win the bucket. And right. You didn't even get that.
When's the last time IU won a bowl game?
Won a bowl game?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure.
1987, I guess. Just not looking at anything.
What are you laughing at? What are you giggling at? Just entertaining or because? Yeah,
it's just entertaining. It's just
very. No, it had to be 90s. I'm going to say 92.
No. Trent Green. No, they weren't in the bowl games in 92.
Sure. Wasn't Trent Green, didn't he take him to a bowl game in like 92, 93?
I don't think so. I don't think they were that good then, but I could be wrong.
That's my guess. There, if we're playing a trivia game that I just started for no apparent reason.
I'm looking it up right now because why not? What else do we have to do?
Yeah,
exactly. We're just hitting refresh like all of you.
Hold on. So let's see. I got it all right here. Okay. What's your official guess for their last bowl win? Would you say 92?
92.
Yeah. I in the 90s. Let me go 90s. Whew. I was going to go later, but I'm trying to think of the years and oh no.
Because I started there in 94.
Let me hit 90.
You guys are really good. You 90 and 92? It's 91.
Oh,
7-4-1.
The best.
They won the Copper Bowl. And the one before that was 88 with Bill Mallory. They won the Liberty. They finished 8-3-1, ranked 20th. And then 5 years later, they ran Bill Mallory out of town. And they have played in three bowl games since they ran Mallory out of town and lost all three of them.
Three doesn't seem like too many. Is it that many?
It's not that many. Many.
Okay. It's
definitely not very many bowls.
Not very many bowls, but it's a lot for that program. I mean, that's the thing. It's like
they went 15 and 16 with Wilson. They went to the Pinstripe and the Foster Farms. They lost them both, went 6-7 both years, but that was still progress for that program. Mm-hmm. And I took a little dig at him in my post today. I said, there's 82 bowl-eligible teams and only 78 spots. And I said, so IU, don't worry. If you'd won the bucket, you'd still probably be at home. Who's going to ask IU to come when they can't even put 40,000 people in their own stadium?
Didn't you say they were selling buy one, get one?
Yes. It was buy one,
they weren't selling many of them.
Buy one, get one for the bucket game.
And look at what it looked like. It was like 50% black and gold. Tyler made
it gold, 40% goose shit, and then
that's what people. I heard. That's
Tyler
what
was thought. There in attendance. I think it's good when Tyler's in the house. It seems to work well for Purdue.
IU did him right. That was
good. Man, IU did a great job. Big, and you know, Romeo came and met him. Tom Allen came out and specifically met him and talked to him. And
that's pretty cool.
I thought the whole thing was really well done, and they did it in advance. They clearly thought about it. They made him honorary captain. They sent him tickets from the athletic department. I thought that was great.
Yeah. Let me. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Tom Allen. I'm really glad about that. Here's the deal, okay? Tom Allen, okay? And we've seen this in our personal worlds at jobs and things like this. You can never be angry at a person for being themselves, and I really mean that, okay? Jay, you've got a smoldering sexiness to you that no one can deny. It's just there. It's there all the time. You can't turn that off at the office.
No,
it's there. It's there. Exactly. And similarly, high school football coaches are high school football coaches. They're rah-rah guys, you know?
Very successful Ben Davis head football
coach. And he'd probably still be winning at Ben Davis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great head football coach, Ben Davis. He's a great Ben Davis. It's Ben Davis football coach, Tom Allen's great.
Right. And so I'm not, I want everyone to understand this. When I say IU made a small town hire of bringing him out of, not bring him to the head coach position, but bringing him out of high school football. Okay. That's really a small time thing to do. And he led them to a bowl loss and they did what they had to do and they hired him. And so he's still a high school football coach and that's okay. That's a good way to make a living for a lot of people.
Good way.
It's a good way. There are a lot of good people that coach high school football.
Turns out this guy
is still coaching high school football in Bloomington.
I would love to be bought out. I would love to have his job after he gets bought out by IU.
You said that was your goal.
It's really my dream
to get the contract. And bad enough to be bought out.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing you say is you need to get a job coaching high school basketball. Because that's close to your heart.
Maybe if Louisville wants to hire me to coach their football team, exactly. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll hire you guys as assistants.
Excellent.
And how low an annual salary would you accept if I gave you a $12 million buyout?
Zero.
You'd coach for nothing.
I would pay.
For the investment. Exactly. Garrett
money don't make.
Then think about that investment. $0, just some time.
Now the clock
you have a $12 million.
To get fired, right? Then at that point, it's like the race is on.
If the goal was, I would have to really try to be a successful, to build a successful program at Louisville, rebuild their culture, recruit, do all that. I couldn't just tank and just collect the $12 million. Mm. The question is, the over-under is like a month and a half?
Like a year?
Yeah.
Will you show up to practice in a Purdue sweatshirt?
Yeah, that's fair. That's very fair. I don't have any other
clues. What's the fastest major coaching hiring/firing there's ever been without something
like George O'Leary?
George O'Leary, exactly, who lied on his resume. Very good. Very good. What's the fastest one?
Sorry, I didn't.
I would have to.
Taggart?
Oh,
no, that hasn't happened.
No, he didn't get fired. It's something like that, but it can't be. Nobody's ever gotten fired for performance in their first year, right?
Well, it's happened in NFL. It's happened a bunch. Like Chip Kelly had 1 year in San Francisco and got fired
because
they realized we don't want to do what we're doing here. But in college, I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it's happened at some knee jerk. Crappy ass school. I mean, what's his name who won the national title cheating with Cam Newton at Auburn?
Gus Malzahn.
No, Gus Malzahn.
Not Gus Malzahn. His offensive or the
Gus something else, right? No.
Gene Chizik.
Gene Chizik was a terrible coach at Iowa State. Gets that job, wins a national title, and then goes back to being terrible because he didn't have Cam Newton.
Cam Newton would do that.
That helps.
When you have Vince Young. Yeah, you're a really good coach.
Mac Brown,
prime
current head coach.
How long will Mac Brown coach at North Carolina?
3 years.
God, this makes me so happy. We'll talk about Brom at the end. Let's do some head coaching stuff. Let's go around the because you guys know what's going on with Jeff Brom. Come on. So we'll talk about that at the end. Let's do some.
Also, by the way, let me do a little teaser here. We have a ton of good Twitter questions. So let's get to those.
Did you get the couple that were buried in that thread from earlier today? Probably not.
What does that mean? That couple that were buried in that
somebody responded to a thread that I don't even remember what it is. I'm sure it was clever. Something I put on there. And they had a couple responses, then like three down for some reason. They start asking questions for the podcast. And I'm like, dag nabbit, Justin's not going to see these.
No, I did. I don't know. Well, the other thing with Mac Brown, and as you know, he coached there, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, but it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's just like Jeff Brom. They want to bring back their guy.
Just come on home. Just come on home, Mac Brown.
And when seasons at North Carolina, which is not
Bill Snyder, but it doesn't, you know, the difference with Bill Snyder is he didn't leave, go someplace, throw that program into the tank, then not do anything for a couple of years, and then come back. It's just the same thing.
Wait a minute. You think Mac Brown threw Texas in the tank?
I mean, look at results. No. Look at the end results. No. I know they had problems with culture there.
No, they were fine. He just wasn't winning national titles anymore. They were still winning games.
Here's the thing. This is the thing. This is like Anish saying, could he win at Louisville? Okay. This isn't Louisville. This is a place that has tons of five stars on the roster until at least a couple of years ago.
When we talk Texas, we're talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They were absolutely loaded.
Well, I think we agree. That's probably the best college job in the country, right? I mean, all things considered, resources, talent pool, money, fan support, like probably even better maybe than Alabama. I mean, take Saban away. I think Texas is a better job.
It's going to be interesting when Saban, you know, rides off in the sunset and they hire
I mean, they're going to hire Dabo.
Kirby Smart. You think it'll be Dabo?
Yeah, Dabo's going to be the NFL by then.
No, Dabo is staying until friggin', you know, everybody.
You think Dabo's going to Alabama?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you put it in pen right now.
Sharpie?
Yeah, you can. It's Dabo's going to.
I've always thought it'd be Kirby Smart coming back.
No, because that's SEC to SEC, jumping from.
Oh, they do that all the time. SEC is as incestuous as Jay's family.
Yeah, but jumping from ACC.
Hey.
From Clemson. Public, you can. He doesn't see. Did you see his quotes this week, too? Because Clemson fans were pissed off at the way he went 12-0 this year. So, and he was like, maybe I'll just look somewhere else. My players don't need to be disrespected like this.
Clemson fans were pissed at him?
Yeah. Because that's amazing. It's insane.
He, you know, I'd have never been a huge fan of Dabo, but he
just keeps winning.
But he took a program that was remember the Clemsoning? People used to say, oh, they Clemsoned it. Clemson was notorious for tripping over their own dongs in big spots. And he's actually erased that. Mm-hmm. They're now a threat to Alabama when they play them in the playoff.
They're more than a threat. I mean, they're an equal, right?
But he was a longtime assistant at Alabama, kind of cut his teeth at Alabama, then went over to Clemson, inherited this job, and he'll go back to Alabama.
His path is still very unusual to get the interim nod and then earn it, right?
Especially at a place like Clemson. Yeah. I mean, you know, how many people are chomping at the bit for that job even before Dabo got there? So good on that administration, but yeah, he's better than we all thought.
I wonder if they were cheating as much as they are now. Cause I mean, we all know they're cheating down there, but how much were they cheating and not succeeding? Is it a disproportionate amount of cheating? Like, is it more cheating now?
But they're probably at SEC levels.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. That's good.
Yep.
You know, he played at Alabama.
Yeah. He was like a walk-on or something.
The wide receiver. He caught 7 passes.
There you go. See, bring home their boy.
Yep.
Okay. I didn't even realize he had that much of a history with Alabama.
He's got a huge history.
That does make more sense.
Yeah. So he's just going to wait.
And he's only 49 right now. He'll be 50.
He's only 49.
49. He was 39 when he got the interim head coaching job there. So
and that's the kind of dude that I can never see at the NFL level because he's a king. He's a king on campus and he loves being the center of attention.
Yeah, he does.
And those are the kind
of like that. He's kind of childlike. I mean, he's really having a good time when he coaches.
But those are the kind of coaches that don't succeed. The coaches that aren't necessarily I mean, like cults of personality rather than, you know, X's and O's wizards.
You're not the king anymore. You're just an employee who makes less than the players.
It's the Rick Pitino thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's the difference. The key difference between Rick Pitino and Brad Stevens is not that they were just two college coaches that were successful that jumped to the pros. One succeeded, one didn't. No, it was one thought that the culture and the environment was more important than himself and the players were more important than himself. And the other one thought he was the show.
Mm-hmm. Did you see, by the way, ESPN has a new 30 for 30 coming out about Bob Knight?
Oh, God, yeah.
And it's called like the end of Bob
Knight. Final days
of Knight. Okay. And I was like, that's funny because didn't he coach at Texas Tech for like 4 more years after the final days?
Oh, more than 4, I think. But yeah. Well, Yeah, but he was never who he was never the legend anymore.
But and, he really wasn't the legend at IU either for the last few years. No. He couldn't get past Sweet 16, and he wasn't the same guy.
He's a fascinating subject, and even people at Purdue who don't like him will watch that because it's interesting. Mm-hmm. But man, that guy is just a shithole. I mean, he's a bad dude. He's just not a good man, not a good person, and he treated people like garbage, all people. And I just don't. Oh gosh! And these people.
He seems to me like he's legitimately angry at a lot of stuff, right? Yes. I mean, like, yes. Whereas Saban, it seems like his anger is a bit, right, that he puts on. And do you agree with that?
Yes.
I don't think Saban is really that mad, because whenever he's mad, it seems silly.
He's looking. It's completely manufactured, because he's trying to find a reason way to keep everybody from. He doesn't want his team to realize how amazing they are, so he's always finding things to get pissed off about or create a middle
mini. Which is brilliant. That's what you have to do. You have to
put the attention on him. Make him be this. It's all a game. And that's a balancing act. To be that good for that long is incredible. What he's done at the college level is, I mean, I know at this point all he has to do is walk into a house and he gets who he wants pretty much, except for Rondell Moore. But he probably didn't go in person for Rondell Moore, would be my guess.
No way. But, you know, that's, this is what Jeff Brohm gets big time recruits to believe that it's a good place to play, though.
So. And I think, you know, he's got his exhibit now in Rondell Moore to say to guys, yeah, Rondell had a chance to go play at places like that, and he would have been a cog in the machine, right? And except here, look, you can be a freshman who could get 1,200 yards receiving in a season. We'll play you because we need you, and you're going to help turn this around.
So that fun fact you gave on Twitter, Jay, was involving Michael Crabtree, right? So that goes back to 20-something.
Oh, I retweeted it, I think.
2005?
Yeah.
Rondell Moore is officially in very good company. It's the first freshman to lead the nation in receptions, right? And he had 100. Yeah, he had 103 receptions. The second place person with receptions was 89.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, Rondell Moore is legit, and he's fun to watch. And I think there are some things when you get kind of caught up in your own circle. Sometimes we might tend to think, is he really what we think he is? You know, yes, he's absolutely what we think he is.
Right. Well, he's getting letters from the, you know, about the Heisman vote and about how, hey, if you finish in the top, whatever, we're going to fly to New York. Like that's actually, it's probably not going to happen, but it's actually a possibility. I think if Purdue was say 9-3,
I think it would take 7 or 8 wins because think if they had 7 or 8 wins, a lot of the plays that he made that kind of got, you know, put underneath the rug, they would have been bigger plays. They'd have been more impactful visually, you know. But when you go into Minnesota and lay an egg and lose to Wisconsin by getting your heart ripped out, those things start, you know, taking the luster off of the whole story. And that's the thing to me. This is a season that's just about, like you guys said, the tipping point.
The transition.
Yeah.
Wait, one more coaching note before I forget. I don't want to overlook this one. Mm. In Purdue's own division, who do we have to mention? Who got extended?
Santa Lovey.
Now,
fantastic. And the chance of us getting to eat Thanksgiving dinner with him still exists, is what that means.
Oh yeah. Because he could still be unemployed by next Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Still. Oh God. I love Lovey. I love having Lovey in my life. Especially with that beard.
He's got a Hazel-esque record at Illinois.
Yeah, it's not great.
That's the stat that
something in the Big Ten.
Worst attended Illinois football season since 1964, yet they extend him.
And they have, I mean, like theoretically, they have all the same advantages that Purdue does being in the West and you know, having money. I mean, they're paying him $5 million a year.
Did he save his job with that thumping of Minnesota?
I don't know. He may have. Yeah.
Right.
I don't get the idea that he was ever on the line.
Yeah. I think Whitman, like their AD, who's a West Lafayette kid, by the way,
who is a friend of one of our buddies. And by the way, he's probably listening. I'm not going to name him right now because I think it all gets pretty weird, but he knows who he is and we know who he is. And if you mention Whitman to him, saying that he may be playing with fire here. He may be, I don't know how you can't see it. This is danger, 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 you know?
With his own job.
With his own job. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And to me, this strikes.
I'm sure he's a great guy, by the way. I think Whitman's, he sounds like a great guy.
But it strikes me as somebody who bet big and doesn't want to cut his losses.
Oh, no, he doesn't want to admit he might be wrong.
Yeah. Exactly. Because another coaching search 3 years after the first one, and you're left flailing a little bit.
And you paid Lovie a lot of money.
$5 million a year.
Was the extension just for like a couple hundred thousand a year? Maybe that was the terms.
I think it was one of those extension in name only that
didn't think it was released.
Yeah.
By the way, Dabo Swinney makes $5.75 million, just to give you a little point of comparison.
That's what I'm saying. Brahm is going, no matter where Brahm's coaching next year, he's setting kind of the new baseline.
Well, but I'm saying Lovie makes five.
It's insane.
Is that true? I thought Swinney was up at seven now.
Well, according to the Wikipedia's, which is never wrong, I don't think it says.
Yeah, five. I don't think the Wikipedia has been updated, or maybe Dabo Swinney went in there he made the number a little lower to say, "Hey guys, come on,
need a raise."
Right, I need more money.
49 years old. What are you? $5.75 million doesn't go very far, boy.
No, he doesn't even have enough to get groceries.
No, yeah, but. They lost six. Illinois lost 63-0 on senior day. I think I said this last week. I felt bad for them. I felt bad.
It's some programs I wouldn't. So I was at a wedding of a family that had one Purdue sibling and two Illinois siblings, and so usually they had the games on. Both their dad has both games on, the Purdue and the Illinois game, and there was no. It was a house full of Illinois alum, and none of them were excited about the season. None of them cared at all. They cared more about Purdue on TV than they did.
We've been there. Right, yeah. We've all been there.
It's just a complete, lack of excitement. And they live in Chicago, so they've lived through the Lovie era twice now. And the first one ended, not terribly, but the second one does not seem to be going well. So you got those questions. Give me those questions.
Oh,
Before we go, I got one more coaching note.
Okay.
Where would you try to find a spot? This is totally spitballing. Would you try to find a spot for Cliff Kingsbury if Coach Brahm or Coach Shepherd?
Well, no. If it was Shepherd, then he'd hire him as head coach. But I think Kingsbury is in the perfect position for him. He's in the perfect position to fail up. Not that he failed at Texas Tech. I actually think he did. He did okay. But I think he can be the most coveted offensive mind in the country right now at any level of football. If Jerry Jones goes to Jason Garrett and says, "We need more creative offensive thinking. He's right down there in Texas. Let's hire this guy for a couple million dollars." All of a sudden you have, your new, a potential head coach in waiting, waiting for Jason Garrett to be fired or to get NFL experience and then just wait on a good job to open in college. No, if I was Cliff Kingsbury, I wouldn't go anywhere that there is a brighter offensive mind on the staff than me. Mm-hmm. So, and that includes Brahm.
Includes Brahm, but it doesn't include a lot of guys. I think Kingsbury's offenses are,
If I were any GM in the NFL that didn't have like Frank Reich coaching their team, was like an offensive genius, I would be lining up. The Green Bay Packers,
right?
Saying, Mike McCarthy, we will give you one more year, but you need to somehow figure out a way to work with Cliff Kingsbury. Yes, that's exactly what I would say.
What about someone taking him on at Arizona?
I mean, that's another. I think Michael brought that one up in our chat, or no, maybe you. I don't remember, but yeah, that's another great fit.
Like, I mean, they coached together at Houston, I think, and then A&M, I believe.
Yeah.
And I feel like old Kevin could use that.
They both need the help, right?
I mean, if that'll get Tate to stay and not transfer, because that's the latest rumor, right? Is that Khalil Tate's gonna be a grad transfer next year? That grad transfer.
You think he's going to come to Purdue and have Purdue have seven quarterbacks available?
Depends on the head coach.
Did you see that the kid who is in this recruiting class has reclassified or whatever they call it? So he's coming now at the semester. So they're going to have maybe Sindelar, Plummer.
What do you mean maybe? You think Sindelar is going to go?
Well, Sindelar is eligible for the transfer. I mean, that's the thing. That's one that this is the first time we've had to really mess with that, you know, graduate transfer rule where this looks like and there's two guys that, right? It could happen. But, you know, Sindelar looked like he enjoyed the bucket celebration a lot.
I think Sindelar should, especially if Brom is bad. Actually, either way, I think Sindelar is produced.
I love
that. I look forward to him having a season next year where he knows he's the guy. Like I think
you love Sindelar, man. As much as I love Blau, No. And this is – and I love Sindelar too, but this is a – you know, that his season ended as the way he wrapped up the end of the season
that's
last year.
What endeared him in my heart. The guy would do that on one wheel and play that way.
Yeah.
And Purdue was out of options, and that's he knew that, right? If he admits his ACL is torn and he can't play, what the hell's Purdue doing down the stretch?
And Sparks got injured for that little stretch too.
Yeah.
Very different season. Doesn't end that way. That's for sure. And you don't have
the class president would be taking snaps.
That's right.
School president.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hope Elijah's back. I think he's got all the tools, man. He's big. He's strong. He's that's why Brom wanted to give him the job.
And maybe he just needed more time to get confidence in his ACL. I mean, that's a real thing. So
he was pressing that you go all the way back to that Northwestern game, three picks early. He was trying to force things. He was doing stuff that he didn't do the previous year. He was so comfortable down the stretch.
And if he gets that sixth year of eligibility from the NCAA and stays, Purdue all of a sudden plug and play, fantastic big arm. Next year, oh man, a lot of fun. Some big, big receivers on the outside. Completely new look offense.
Before we go to the questions, wearing a nice little undershirt under this beautiful Purdue dry fit hoodie. It's very soft. It's very form fitting. It's right up against your insulating skin. It cool. It's crazy. Mm. It's crazy how the technology.
Where'd you get it?
I got it from martinvintage.com.
Ooh.
And I didn't pay full price. The full price, totally worth it, by the way.
Yeah.
But we're telling you, we got a deal for you. We know you listen.
Hey, buddy, come over here. We got a deal for you.
We got this. And they're boiled at checkout. martinvintage.com. BOILED is how you spell that, boiled. And you get 20% off. That seems to be a lot of percent.
Can't beat that. And everybody needs Christmas gifts right now.
Oh, if for every shape, size of Purdue fan in your family, or if you want to convert an IU fan, they'll see the shirt. They'll be like, my God, I was on the wrong side of this thing the whole time.
Exactly. They got kids stuff too. So
yeah.
For everyone who buys a shirt during this holiday season, for a limited time, we're throwing in a hug from a niche.
Yeah, so, that's right.
If you buy a shirt,
you see him at the next, whatever you see him, whichever.
Yeah, I won't seek you out.
No,
if you have a Martin Vintage shirt on, Anish will hug you.
Yeah.
Or you can redeem your hug
exactly
by saying, "Here's my Martin Vintage shirt."
Yeah,
and
that is a great kickback.
Worth it, man. It's a holiday season special.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Maybe at the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit, and you'll see Anish.
Maybe. Or in Yankee Stadium. Who knows? Go, let's get to these questions.
So we went out on Twitter and, people were kind of excited. One of the first things that came in, let me take a look here. Boilermaker Crazy is his name on here, but his handle is Unlawful Badger. I feel like we've talked to him before. And he says, I thought this was pretty funny. That's why I'm going with this one first, because it was the first one we got. He says, whiskey recommendation for the holidays, under $50 a bottle. Now, my first thought is, whoa, high roller, under $50 a bottle. I mean, that's mostly everything we drink, isn't it?
50 is a good, 50 is
a good number.
Yeah, you got a lot of space at 50.
Right. So PU Falls Cities then chimed in right away. He didn't wait for us to answer because.
Of course, I was going to say.
I looked for his, the Bottled and Bond early times. I couldn't find it last week. I looked for it.
You'll have to go visit. Yeah. He says, Old Forester 1920.
Not bad. That's a good selection.
Angel's Envy, which I know everyone here agrees with. Mm-hmm. And he says Four Roses Small Batch, which I've had as well.
I'm not a big fan of that one.
I'm not a Four Roses.
I think that's too spicy.
And I told him one of our favorites, right? An Eagle Rare.
Eagle rare, my goodness. And he'll still have $15 in his pocket.
Right. And I said the one that I keep pimping on here, which my current one, the Woodford double oaked. I said, just trust me. That's
right at your level. I mean, I don't know if you can get
it. It might be 50. 55, yeah.
I found it. Yeah. Cheapest I found was 54.
You can get a Black Friday deal somewhere. It may have gone.
I got to get out there and start looking right now.
Exactly.
And then Pewful Cities chimes back in and says, Henry McKenna bottled and bond version is hands down the best for the money. Very rare to find a 10-year-old bourbon these days for under 40.
I've never had.
Henry McKenna bottled and bond.
Ooh, that's added to the list. Thank you, Mike.
Where do I go to bookmark this tweet?
I don't know. I tried to figure that out the other day when, a lot of people making predictions and I couldn't figure it out.
Oh, don't worry. It's under control.
Excellent.
I got
everything. There's so much fodder.
I've got everything we need saved. And a bunch of them are just completely random too. Yeah. They're like, is somebody making a smart ass comment in a thread? I'm like, save. Exactly. We'll get back to this later, we'll talk buddy. Soon. Yeah, exactly. We'll
talk soon. Yeah, that's the I don't know if you guys saw, there's a plea from a Purdue fan saying he looks forward to Boilermakers taking the high road when dealing with Louisville fans if Brohm stays. And I was like, no.
I'm good with the low.
And it's not really a low road. In fact, you'd have to go really low to get down to their level. They've been crap. Them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I there'll be some gloating if it there's a way
to do it without being a horrible person. Like
you mean the way that they would handle it if they could
Yes.
With class and they would just let it go.
Yeah, they would be very classy.
I want Louisville on the football schedule, by the way, regardless of how this goes.
Same regardless. Here.
Bait them back on the schedule.
Yep.
So we got a straightforward one from Chris Harder, CJ Poppin. He says, how many receiving yards and touchdowns will Rondale have next year? It's fun to think about because we're just talking about that.
Right now, he's sitting what at like 12 and 12, like 1,200 and 12 touchdowns. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm going to go with 4,040.
Good. Good. Good.
Yeah.
I think he'll be 4,000 receiving yards. I don't think it'll be a lot different than 1,200 because averaging over 100 a game.
That's a lot. 1,200 is a whole bunch.
That's what he's got.
I know. It's a whole bunch, though. I'm just saying.
Hard to average 100 yards a game for a full season.
Yeah.
And I think that 1,200, 1,300 is probably – the thing with him is he's going to be one of those weird ones where, yeah, he's going to get better, but not so much better. He's already so much better than everybody around him.
Can't get so much better.
He can't grow like a four-year player would ordinarily grow because he'd be superhuman. He'd be winning multiple Heismans.
In one year.
Right. They just give him
he'd two. Win two or three next year.
I love that he's always the freshman of the week. That's one of my favorite running. Exactly. It's like a running gag with the Big Ten. Rondale Moore? No kidding. Yeah. No kidding.
Why don't you just give him the player of the week and shut your face?
I like the kickback to the week, 2 weeks after the Nebraska game when I don't remember which really big Rondale game it was, whether it was Ohio State or not. But Scott Frost had a really good freshman.
That was hilarious. That
didn't win freshman of the week.
Martinez. Said,
it was Martinez. And he was like, who won freshman of the week?
Won it.
And he was like, Rondale. So, like,
oh, yeah, he deserved
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah, that was hilarious. And he kind of grinned. He knew right away. He's like, okay.
He's like, oh, I forgot about that guy.
Good point.
I think I found the thread you were talking about earlier. Okay. John Faker had a few questions.
Yes. Yes. He has a very long strand.
He has several here.
Yeah.
In fact, what?
I didn't understand.
In fact, forget it. No, after all that, now that I made you dig it up, screw it. No, he makes some points here that actually I think we've thought about that I do think there's validity to. He says the only matter if Jeff Brohm is here next season and beyond. But he says we have seen in some games against bad offense, Brohm will dial it back, so to speak.
Yes.
EMU, MSU, and the Blau plays of the Northwestern game this year. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. Blau was not opened up in the Northwestern game.
Right.
Says, also Rutgers and Nebraska last year. Is this something that Brohm is doing because of the lack of talent and depth, or is it something we need to worry about in the future?
It's a very, very good and fair question.
And I think we've noticed that and said it almost feels like he can sometimes get a little too into the weeds or into his own head and think, well, we should be more conservative because it's Rutgers. We don't need to go crazy. They're terrible run defense. So let's not do what we normally do. And then he almost recognizes it, and then the next game opens things back up and says, well, we got to be who we are. I wonder, yeah, I do think he maybe overthinks it sometimes, and he creates a game
plan. Does he think he only has a certain number of plays, and if you use them once, you can't use them again? I can't figure out the thought, right?
And to me, where this what this boils down to is that, yes, this is a tendency of his. Mm-hmm. And this is of his as a head coach. I think him as an offensive coordinator is very different because it's not his name on the thing. He's willing to, you know, when Kragthorpe was here, whatever, when he was coaching under Kragthorpe and he was coaching under offensive coordinator under Schnellenberger, whatever. He'll be the guy rooting for gunslinging every single time. But now that he's in charge, mm-hmm. he's making those decisions. We have to remember he's only in his fifth year as a head coach.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just like players, head coaches get better and head coaches realize that they have worse mistakes and deficiencies. They get worse. Speaking of Mac Brown, but
yeah, exactly.
These are areas for him to
improve. How dare you?
And he's
an old man. He's 67. Don't make fun of that.
He is an old man. You're right.
Let me go
back to the Tom Allen conversation. Mac Brown is who he is, right? He's a grandpa, and he spins a yarn. He just love it. His southern draw is awesome. You're like, you're gathered in. You're like, tell me more, old man. Tell me another story.
How much would it cost to get Bob Stoops off of a golf course and back onto a sideline? It would cost many millions, wouldn't it?
But he's not that old. We talked about this.
No, that's the thing. He's in his 50s. I think he's in his, like, he's like 58. He's not quite 60 yet.
Then I don't understand. Did he retire because he didn't want to coach anywhere else? Or did they say, look, we can get Lincoln Riley in as head coach?
Yeah.
And we need
and, to get and he more. Was and he was like, I like golf and chilling with these millions.
I bet he'll be here. Okay. That's a good thing.
Because there was the
rumors. 3 years, so it's 2018. I say 2021, he's coaching again.
Because there were the rumors of him with Auburn this week, which he came out and said, are you guys kidding me?
Right.
Like, I'm enjoying
Malzahn should not be. I saw someone on Twitter, like a writer, say, you're an idiot if you think Malzahn should be pushed down. Nobody has played Alabama as tough. They've beaten them a couple times over the last however many years.
But don't they have 7 wins?
7 or 8, I think, yeah.
I mean, that's
not enough.
It's Auburn, yeah. I that's a pretty low number for Auburn, right? I mean, yeah.
How much would it cost them to get Cam Newton back? Oh, Cam Newton! This Cam Newton in college would actually be.
Oh my gosh!
I would.
You love know how that. Big he'd look? Like, he looked big when he wasn't filled out. He ridiculous! He looked like a cartoon or what? There was a video game back in years ago, PlayStation 2, and everybody was like jacked, like they're on steroids, and they're playing football and sandlots and stuff like that. He'd look like one of those characters. Look ridiculous.
But speaking of SEC schools, that I just love, you guys have heard me do this, that I love to see continue to fall on their faces, is Tennessee, 5-7, lost their rivalry game for the third or fourth straight year to Vandy.
It's great.
And lost their coordinator. Who's got Brom ties to Western Kentucky?
Yes, he went to Western Kentucky. Jeremy Pruitt, great hire in that Hill job.
Well, Tennessee fans, that's another one that we could have bookmarked a few months, you know, 12 months ago, 11 months ago. They were at about the 10-month mark, they had gotten their confidence back, and they were mm-hmm. like, top 10 team next year.
That's an expectation.
All right, guys, keep up, keep it up.
You know what I noticed? That 7 overtime game that Jimbo Fisher and A&M won, got him and the Aggies to 8-4. Now, they had a coach who never seemed to lose, never seemed to win fewer than 8 games.
Yeah.
Sometimes he won like 11 games.
He just had problems with this one program. But actually, he beat them every now and again, too.
Oh, yeah, he did. And he got run out of town. They give this guy $75 million to go 8-4.
$75 million.
It's amazing.
Yep. Incredible. $75 million.
That type of money has been thrown around twice in the last year, right? For Gruden and for Fisher. And both of those monies were very poorly spent, period.
I don't know if Fisher's is totally poorly spent. I think he's a good coach. Poorly
spent. No, it's poorly spent because they could have. I think that's another place, almost like Texas, where you have structure and you have talent and you have location. You have lots and lots and lots of things on your side. And did I mention money? They have money to go do whatever the hell they want on the recruiting trail. I mean, they've got it all.
Meaning what? They should, they could hire anyone they want.
I mean, they cheat like crazy is what I mean. I don't know how else.
But you're saying, why is it a bad hire? Because they could hire anyone they want.
They didn't need to spend that much money, right? They could have gone and gotten a hotter name, a younger guy like Applewhite or somebody like that, you know, and be like, all right, we're going to pay you whatever.
I don't
and
think they
roll the ball out there and get eight wins.
But that's what they did with someone. They hired a hot name who's coming out of Houston and was exciting. And that wasn't, now they decided, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get our own Saban. We're going to get a guy who's won before and he's going to get here. He might. I kind
it's
of
funny. If you, like we've had discussions off of the microphone, away from things, where we talk about who Purdue should look at in the case that Jeff Brohm leaves. And the funny thing is I've moved on to saying, okay, from now on, Purdue should not look at coordinators, right? They should not. I think Purdue should look at offensive-minded head coaches, right? Let's get guys that we can show that they have built programs. They've shown they can recruit. So it's like a true resume. You say all the things you need at a big time college program. These guys have proven. You're not saying, I think he's going to be that, right? It's this, that's the funny thing is though, how many big time programs go and say, we're going to get that guy. We're going to get the hot offensive coordinator, the hot defensive coordinator.
But that it's
Venables,
it's
right?
But it's fine if there is a, you know, like Auburn, Georgia, these are the kind of programs that can afford to say, let's spend a couple million dollars on the best coordinator in the business who's been under a head coach for like 10 years and pluck him out and put him into a cog in the machine. And the Georgia machine needed a little bit of oil and a little bit of tweaking, and Kirby Smart done it pretty good. And so to me, those are the kind of jobs where you can afford to hire coordinators, because it's more you're just plug and play.
Let's look at that example, right? Georgia, the Georgia fans hated that Mark Richt would lose two games a year, right?
Well, it's because he'd always lose in the SEC title
game. Okay, right. Yeah, you're right. And what's going to happen here in a week?
He's going to lose in the SEC title game for the second
year. He's going to lose his second game.
I think so.
In the SEC title game, the same thing that they said, oh, Mark Richt needs to be run out of town. And on Twitter, you will still see the Richt haters come out of the woodwork when Miami loses, right? They're like, same thing as Georgia. No, it wasn't. He wasn't bad at Georgia. He was great at Georgia. Exactly. So shut your face hole, because he's having a bad season at Miami right now. This is not what he did at Georgia. So I you can revise it and see.
We looked at him when he left there. He never had a bad year, to my record, at Georgia. I don't think ever had an – I mean, maybe the last year when he knew he was going to get pushed out.
Right.
He was relentlessly
– he and Les Miles – goodness.
There's one.
Both average 10 wins a year.
Les Miles at Kansas is going to be – that's going to be so amazing at Kansas, because he's not – I don't think he's going to be good.
Oh, it's going to be a train wreck.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be so great.
Think about that. I mean, the names we've mentioned in this show, you know, the Mack Brown and Les Miles, they're very similar in that you're like, okay, this guy hadn't done anything in a couple of years. It doesn't feel like a good fit. It feels like, you know, I mean, Les Miles is getting the point. He kind of looks like a freak show at this point too. Like, his hair looks like it's a wig, right? He's a caricature of himself. Now he's in, I don't know if you've seen his, I don't know if it's Wikipedia page. It says actor and coach. Which is hilarious.
Which one first?
I'd say actor right now.
Yeah.
All right. We got a lot of questions. I'm going to keep pushing us along.
Sorry.
So here we go. No, it's all right. John, I'm going to say your name wrong. Yakna?
I think it's pronounced Cocktoastin.
Fletch, F. Fletch. I got you. He says, why does 6-6 feel so good for this team, especially compared to a 6-6 Danny Hope team? The team seems more special than their record indicates. Don't worry, John. It's because of the potential. That's why this feels weird to you. 6-6 felt like a milestone with that.
Capping out.
Right. Right.
I don't know if 6-6 feels that great to me.
It doesn't feel that great. Not with where it felt like it was going just like 3 weeks ago.
A month ago, exactly.
11 points and 4 losses. That's it. You know, and so
That's why, right?
Just like last year, you could easily see where this is an 8 or 9 win season. Mm-hmm. Easily.
Like, the last time Purdue had a season like this where they were that close and they lost a bunch of games was when Joe Tiller was here. And Joe Tiller wasn't done getting better, I would say, at that point. Right. That was before Orton was given the reins. And they had a very similar, like, you know, lost by 2, lost by 3, that type of thing, that type of rhythm of a season. And unlike the Tiller years, is they didn't have a class coming in like this. This class is crazy.
Guys, it's a 6-6 season that could have been 8 or 9 easily with still a 2-10 kind of team of Hazel's guys. Like that is not an excuse. Depth. No depth at all. When guys get hurt, again, you've got walk-ons backing up walk-ons in the secondary. You got Neil, who's very good. He gets hurt, and Anisha, as you said in the postgame, is like, holy crap, what do we do now? How do we plug this? Like, there's no one else to go to.
That's the crazy thing that IU did not take advantage of a field without Thienemann, Neil, or Bailey.
Bailey was out for a little bit. Yeah,
they were all off the field at one point. That's a beleaguered Purdue defense, and IU didn't do much at all with that opportunity. In fact, that was the time where they just couldn't move the ball.
High school coach,
right? High school coach from high school things.
There was I'm scanning here because I'm trying to find, there was a question that I thought fit well with that one about the 6-6 season, and I can't find it now. But they basically had asked at the start of the season, if I told you that, so Purdue was going to go 6-6, would you have thought that the 6 wins they got were more likely or that the 6 losses they got were more likely to be wins? So remember, that would be beating Northwestern, beating Missouri, beating EMU, beating Minnesota. I would have thought
it was the other way.
Right? Yep. And losing to Ohio State, beating Michigan State. That would have been totally believable. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Losing. And that was a great question, because if you flip the 6-6.
And I thought they beat Wisconsin. That's the scenario I thought it'd be.
Yes. Yeah,
there you go.
That's a great, and maybe clunker to IU. Like, that's not so crazy. I thought that was a very good question. I can't find it now, so I can't give him credit. Yeah. But that's the breaks, my friend. When you hit the big time, like this podcast, that's what happens. Yeah. So Boiler in Boulder, Purdue Cannon is his handle, asks, and this is an interesting one. He says, is it assumed that Sindelar will be granted a red shirt for this season? I don't think it's assumed.
Because
he had a red shirt.
Yeah, he had a red shirt. So this would be a commissioned red shirt. And this is something that, remember, I always refer back to Keith Smith, who was denied a 6-year red shirt for no good reason.
Yeah.
So it's because Purdue and it's the NCAA. So I would say there's no assumptions. This is something where you are handing it to a committee. Elijah Sindelar, I think, by every measure, is a great candidate for that 6-year because he's a true student athlete. He's an engineering student. Mm-hmm. He's a fantastic person off the field, and his injuries have been legit. I mean,
But he didn't lose a season to a blown out knee or something.
But he had that strained whatever, and they can tell in their report. Strained lower leg. I assume it was the MCL ACL that was hurt again. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we did not want to mess around with this.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell that story even if it's not the truth. Because that's the thing. That story kind of changed, by the way, if you're
right. 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 The better Blau played, the more.
Exactly. Oh, he couldn't practice.
PU Falls Cities asks us a football question. Good for you, Mike. Mm. He says, would you rather have Markel, the IU version, for every game next year or another year of Blau? I think I'd probably take Markel because there's enough quarterbacks in that roster.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh,
I loved
you love David Blau.
Oh God, I loved watching him so much. Oh God.
And every a great time. What a great
yeah.
Great dude.
He's good. Oh, and he fits with Brom so well. If you notice,
and he takes the F bomb right across his forehead, like no big deal.
And Brom doesn't yell at Sindelar like he yells at Blau.
Because he doesn't yell at anybody. Well, no. I take that back. He yells at his assistant coaches. What's the name of the special teams coach right now? He got a blur of creative curse words leaving the Memorial Field, Heppner Field, or whatever it is. Yeah.
Leaving the other day?
Yeah.
What do you mean, at halftime or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant after the game. I was going to say, I thought he was pretty happy.
No, halftime. He was after him. So,
by the way, I did like that the players waited till they were in the locker room to do the Gatorade bucket.
That's cool.
Versus Ed Orgeron.
Ed O. Oof. Ed O.
Players doing it. And then
haven't won a game.
And then, yeah, gosh, that's so great.
Amazing.
So the other question from Mike, and we got another one. I'm going to ask these together. So Mike says, would you rather go to the Pinstripe Bowl or be indoors in Detroit? And then, that's interesting because then the other guy, I don't know this gentleman, Z Young Bowler, says, is the Quick Lane Bowl really any worse than the Pinstripe? Personally, I'd rather see Purdue in the Quick Lane. How many recruits are they really pulling out of New York? Michigan is a much better state, but I've got home state bias. I think that's a great point. You're recruiting more that part of the country.
Kids, they have a bunch of kids from Detroit this year. Mm-hmm. So
would they really?
I think it's three or four.
Would they be really visiting for the?
I don't know.
No, it's almost like a gift to them, you know, right? And last year they had they had more kids from the Northeast last year in the recruiting class because I think they had a kid from Staten Island and another kid from Connecticut. I don't have the recruiting sheet in front of me. And the other thing is, New York is really cold.
It's going to be played at a stupid football or a baseball stadium.
And it's going to be in a baseball stadium. Yeah. Right. And it's going to be in New York where no one cares.
Nobody likes New York. Okay.
No one likes New York. That's not true. I like New York.
Except that you both come, so shut your pie holes.
Yeah.
If we're celebrating good news at the end of the week, then maybe we'll have a mini summit. Who knows?
Yeah.
So we agree Detroit. I would agree that too because it's inside. Mm-hmm.
Jay is, if you don't know, Jay is easy. He's gallant. Bravely. I'm about to move on to another word. Fighting a for real illness right now, and worse than mine.
But got big players make big plays.
Big players make big plays, and when the lights come on,
that's right.
You do your job.
Mic comes on, and here I go.
Period. Bang.
Now here's a good one. This is one we may need to see. This is one that's gonna this is gonna pull at Anisha's heartstrings. So maniacally, Steve says, "Would we rather?" Question. He says, "Jeff Brohm takes Purdue to the playoff once, or Brad Stevens is the head coach for the next 3 years, keeping the rest of the staff, roster, and recruiting the same."
Give me the college football.
Yes.
I mean, that'd be the Brad Stevens would be nice, but no.
That's a good one. Because I was sure about what was the question we had posed a week ago about the comparison of a Final Four or something? Final Four or?
Was it go to the college football playoff or win the? No, it was to go. No, it was go to the Final Four of either.
So it was like go to either Final Four.
No. I thought it was go to the or win the Big Ten championship. I didn't
see this is a different question. I'll tell you why this is a different question, and this is a good one. They found some buttons to push there, and I think Anish, if you really think of this, you may. Yeah. I'll tell you why. You've got 3 years, so you've got potential there, which is your favorite thing in the world. No, potential, not you, reality. You love the potential.
I love Jeff Brohm, man. I love Jeff Brohm.
You've got potential, and you know there's going to be a McDonald's All-American that comes to play for him next year. You know that's going to happen.
It'd be good.
One thing.
Yeah, no.
And it's not a national championship. It's one.
But that one season of going to the playoffs.
That December. I mean, like just wearing your Purdue stuff.
Oh, September.
Let me remind you guys, Brad Stevens went to two final games in 2 years.
He seems good.
He seems awfully.
And I think that team probably had less talent. Well,
That was a good Butler team.
Yeah. The first one was. The second one wasn't that good.
Right. The first one was like the Purdue team last year. Really, very similar.
Mm-hmm. They went to a Final Four, Final Game, didn't they?
They had a final game of the season. Yes,
they did have a final game. That's right. Yep. And no one remembers it, but Purdue
final
fans.
Game. Oh man,
that's a great question. Well done.
And he actually says,
"I'm going to go with Brad Stevens." How about that?
You aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I didn't think I had to ask you.
Yeah, I'm going with Brad Stevens. That's 3 years because that's the thing. Entertainment minutes. I have a very short attention span. That's many, many minutes of entertainment. That's a long time. Because here's what's going to happen.
Minutes are a long time to you, I bet.
Right, exactly. Minutes, incredible. 30 seconds will be very intense, very pleasing. A minute's a lot. So if Brohm takes them to the playoff, it's over then, gentlemen. We know that, right?
Yeah.
But he's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah, of course.
So that's one. That's 1 year. And then the next year, what do we get? I don't know. Could be great.
Memories.
Memories.
But with Stevens, we're gonna make some memories too. 3 years.
Ooh, 3 years are good years. Yeah.
Whew, that's a great question. Well done.
So I think this is an interesting one. This is from again, like I said, we got some new guys swooping in here. Shetterly Jeff, the Blue Ridge Boiler.
Watch your mouth.
Yeah. He says, if someone told you that Purdue football would win the Big Ten West in 2020 without knowing their record or what would happen after that point. So I guess his point being it could be Northwestern this year where you're not in contention even if you were to win the Big Ten for the playoff, right? His point is they win the Big Ten West in 2020 without knowing the record or what would happen after that point. Or Purdue basketball would make a Final Four in 2020 without knowing how they would fare after that point. Which scenario would you choose?
That one? Final Four. Not even close.
What I would see that scenario would probably be Purdue going to...
It could be 7-5 and be in the title game.
Right. And
that's all he's saying.
Lose by 100 to Michigan or Ohio State.
They wouldn't. But they wouldn't do that.
But I'm just saying.
Right. I get it. I get what he's getting at. He's asking how all in are we on football? And I guess the point is we're pretty close. But
we're pretty close, but not that. That's still, there's a lot of variables. That's the thing. A lot of variables there.
Yeah. I think in that scenario, I'd take the Final Four.
I like these questions. They're trying to get us to think a little bit. It's good.
Yeah. I like that.
And there's a lot of feeling. It's a mixture of the brain and the heart. It's very.
Yes. Good. Yes. You don't usually use those together.
Nope.
So John Holif. I don't know. I hope I'm saying your name right, John. He says, would you rather.
Is your print really small on your screen? Is that the problem, old man? Or what's.
These names are not that easy, you dork. You wouldn't even know. I can read them. They're just.
I can't read.
Shetterly Jeff, these are all. I'm used to reading the same old people who come in and send us things. So John says, would you rather have beaten Ohio State like Purdue did, or
yes,
in the LSU Texas A&M 7-0 game? No, I'd rather beat
Ohio State.
There are few. I don't know if you could cook up a scenario better than the Ohio State game this year.
No,
it is my most cherished sports memory.
Because the 7-overtime game, all a 7-overtime game means is you just happened to be the last one standing. That doesn't mean you necessarily were better that day.
It
was an even game.
I want it to be boring for people who don't care.
That's the thing. I think that Purdue Ohio State game was not boring because even as Purdue built their lead, everyone thought, well, that's coming. Ohio State is coming.
Right,
at some
right.
point, they're going to put it together. And then they looked like they were going to. And then Purdue did what they didn't do the rest of the year and just smashed it back in their face. And
the Rondale play happened.
And that happened like twice, right? And then Purdue was like, no, that's enough.
Now, by the way, that play, I don't know if that was a question, but if we're going play of the year, it's the Rondale play at Ohio State.
That's where he broke their hearts, where he broke their souls and spirits.
Where he changed speeds. Three times in the same play, he changed speeds three times. He's the best.
Or like a five-star Ohio State defensive back wrapped him up, and he couldn't take him down. That when Rondale was like perpendicular to the ground.
We're actually talking about two different Ohio State five-star people. One that he trucked, and one that he broke the tackle of. I apologize to you and yours for that mix-up. Go on.
Ben Cotton asks, would you rather
you can pronounce that one? Good job.
Shut up. Would you rather see, and he calls them AOSU, so you're dorky.
Excellent.
It's catching on. Would you rather see AOSU win the football playoffs or IU make the Final Four in basketball?
Ohio State.
Yeah, no problem, right? Because this goes back to my, when people get mad at me because I'm like my Notre Dame boss when they played Alabama and he's like, wouldn't you don't want to see Alabama win again? I'm like, why? Who cares?
I don't care about Alabama.
They can win 10 more. That doesn't matter. They're already
it's almost like another universe, right? Like one person that really likes Alabama.
When Notre Dame does something, no, I don't want to hear about that forever.
When IU plays Ohio State, I find myself rooting for IU because screw Ohio.
In what?
In football,
that's different. Sorry, but yeah, IU football is not hard to root for. Honestly, like I find a lot of games, I don't like outwardly cheer for them. But if I see them playing, I'd like to see.
I had
them.
A little girl at church, okay, who came up to me I'm wearing my blazer, my Purdue blazer, and I haven't said a thing to anybody.
The formal Purdue blazer.
And I haven't said a thing to anybody.
I haven't said a word to anybody.
Said a word.
I just let that do the speaking, right?
You wore that on Sunday after the Buck game?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've worn it twice this year to church.
After Ohio State?
Yes. Yep. Yes. And after that, right there. So,
you know, you're so
little
shy.
Girl comes up to me. She's a 12-year-old, and she says, at least they got five banners. I said, oh, really? Are we going to talk about that right now? I said, my memory only goes into my lifetime. How about yours? I said, I actually remember 1987. What year were you born?
You're like that. I don't remember what the clip of the movie was where he's arguing Michael Jordan versus LeBron, and right. It's the rings, and you're just yelling in this child, exactly. Poor child's face.
Yeah. Well, I was very sweet, very, very understanding. And I just was upset that this is the thing that kills me. There are so many IU fans that just can't keep their mouth shut. It's very easy. Just keep your mouth shut. It's good.
You should have told this girl.
But you put it out on. Oh, but what?
You should have told this girl that her parents don't love her.
Exactly.
Well, you put it out on Twitter, football or basketball. Haven't won in a long 2 years.
Exactly. Well, I did. I said that. She brought that up. I said, 739 days since IU's beaten Purdue in football or basketball.
It's a good step.
That's a long time. In your life, that's like 1/6 of your life. That's really long. And it's still, and Tom the clock Green. Is rolling. It's
we miss just, you, Tom Green.
You should just keep trash talking little girls is all I'm saying.
That was it. And then I said, God bless you. Have a good Sunday.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
So we have a few more good ones here. So, well, here's one I'll go back to. Sammy Boilermaker, Sam Gipinski. Again, another new person to the That's roll great. Call. What is David Blau's?
We must be up to 20 listeners.
What is David Blau's legacy at Purdue? In 15 years, we're going to look back at him, his time here, and say what?
He's right after Kyle Orton.
I think it really depends on the news this week. Because if Brohm stays, I think a lot more people remember Blau
as the starting of a
as the first important. Of this as the first
course, like Blau's first guy.
Or Brohm's first guy. Yeah, if he leaves, it'll just be like the interim tag. You know, he was the interim quarterback.
Let me counter that. I understand your thought process, and I agree that this it makes him better if Brohm stays. No doubt about it. But I think that Blau is a symbol of Purdue, right? Like a guy who fights through injuries and fights through crappy conditions and all those things that we as Purdue fans love, right?
But I'm not saying how we will remember him, like super Purdue nerds will,
okay.
But how the casual Purdue fan will remember him.
I just say Purdue fan. There are very few Purdue fans that are casual,
but to the point where he'll probably not be remembered as well as Curtis Painter, probably. If Brohm doesn't stay, I don't.
Well, that's funny because you remember Michael earlier in the season said that he was behind Curtis Painter.
But these last, and I think I was leaning towards agreeing with him until this last stretch of his senior.
Well, year. I take the next week, yeah. and I think I defended that either on a podcast or in a quick cast saying that he's a better competitor than Curtis Painter.
Oh yeah. Right? Oh, nobody's. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's interesting. All the deficiencies that he has as a player, you know, his size is a problem. His ability not to have a clock in his head is a problem. He doesn't have a massive arm. I would be surprised if he didn't get a look someplace in the NFL now, right? Just because we're like, that guy's fiery. He's a fighter. You know, dang, that deep ball is worth something. If you've got a team with a legit deep threat, you want a guy who can get the ball to him. I mean, man, he can place it in their hands like in just perfect place.
Yeah, I was actually looking at the depth of the quarterbacks in this draft, just to see if it was deep and if you would have a shot at making a roster. And this isn't a great quarterback class.
Not
once you get a
I don't
little
think
deep,
he's a good. So. I don't think he's got the typical form though. When he throws, he doesn't look to me like a. I don't know. There's something about
the ball doesn't snap out of his hands.
Yeah,
but guess what? I just watched a player who is him. But with better pedigree, Colt McCoy. That's That's Dave Blough, my friends. And he's been in the league for a while.
He's actually a pretty good backup quarterback.
Yeah.
You watch the ball come out of his hands, because I did. Oh, it's ugly. It's so soft. It's like me throwing a wiffle ball. You're like, it doesn't want to go anywhere, you know? So I'm rooting for Dave Blough to get away from coaching as long as he can. He'll eventually be a great coach, but let him have a couple of years making some monies.
By the way, that question, before I forget, that question about flip-flopping the six wins was Miles Hanley, who writes to us a lot.
My man.
Yeah. Nailed it. He pointed out that we would lose the 6-1, but would have beaten Wisconsin, MSU, Northwestern, EMU, Missouri, and Minnesota.
You'd say, that's just about as, to be honest.
Which is kind of how 6-6 seasons work, everyone.
Yeah, this season doesn't make any sense. But
that's the funny thing. We all talk about 50-50 games at the beginning of the year, right? And we really, those 50-50 games weren't the problem.
No.
One of those 50-50 games was 41-10. So
I don't think we even thought that was a 50-50. Although we were worried about it. I remember at the beginning of the season,
we were worried about it, and that we were like, we don't want to see that guy win. One more notch up.
Yeah.
That's why I still feel that way.
They were pretty excited to get that axe back.
Yeah.
They were rightfully, but man, they were derpy. So I'll give just a couple more here, and this is a really creative one. And now I've, of course, lost it. Oh, here it is. Handel Jones says, which Purdue, and if you like this, which Purdue more had the better November, Etuan or Rondell?
Oh, no. These are my two favorites.
I know.
My two sons. Oh, my God.
Etuan is filling it up, man.
Had a better November? Well, Etuan's making like $12 million or whatever he's making. I'm going with Etuan, but Rondell didn't have a shabby one.
I'd say, here's the thing, without Rondell having this type of season, Rondell doesn't make the brand for himself, right?
Maybe.
This was foundational. This is pretty darn cool. Pretty
fun to watch.
So, John, who we took a question from before, I'll ask you these two quickies and then we'll wrap it up. He says, because they're creative. He says, would you rather watch First Man with Neil Armstrong on a couch eating Orville Redenbacher popcorn or fly Amelia Earhart's plane and have Drew Brees as your co-pilot?
That one. Yes.
How far do I have to fly?
Yeah, I was going to say, which area are we flying?
Yeah.
And the other one.
I'm a big guy. I like comfort.
And his other one, the last one, he says, would you rather drink cheap whiskey? Yes. No. Would you rather drink cheap whiskey while listening to Morgan Burke preach about the necessity of conservative athletic budgets or cheap tequila while listening to Dan Dockich talk about Dan Dockich for an hour?
Oh my God, that's a good quest.
I'd go with Morgan. I'd go with Morgan.
That's right. See, I like whiskey. I do not like tequila, especially cheap tequila. It's like, that's poison.
Tequila and Dockage?
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah, exactly. I'm going with Burke and the whiskey.
Morgan, you know, you and I have talked to Morgan Burke.
I can drink quite a bit of whiskey, even if it's not great. Especially if I get to, there are cheap whiskeys that are quite palatable.
Oh, yeah. And you could debate Morgan, too. You could argue.
And I get better the more whiskey.
Tequila? What about tequila and Morgan and whiskey and
Dockage? That makes it a harder question.
That would have made it harder.
Because I can't drink enough tequila unless I'm gunning it at that point. I can't sit.
Gunning it.
I'm just getting it down to get it down because I do not like, I mean, it's got to get pretty good for me to enjoy tequila. It's going to get top shelf type stuff.
Well, that was a good 40 minutes.
Yeah, that was really good. Solid. That was a quick 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Great job.
And we'll come back with an emergency one if and when.
In a half hour.
Yeah, so exactly. We thank our sponsor, Martin Vintage. I'd also like to quick shout out to
Asgard Press.
Who Anish, we don't have the ad up on the site, do we?
We do not.
I'll relink it on Twitter when we get off.
Yeah, we need Asgard Press is another good partner. They do really cool calendars, vintage calendars, and note cards, and they're in all seriousness, those are also good gift ideas for the holidays, and you can get a discount there.
In all seriousness, if you get a calendar, note card, and a shirt for your uncle who's a Purdue fan.
Oh my God.
Seriously. They'll be like, whoa, what have I done? And now guess what? You're in the will.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. So you just paid what, $40 And you've just changed the trajectory of your family, because I'm sure your uncle's worth millions.
Oh, of course.
It's that easy.
You've been listening to the Bold Sports Handsome Hour.
Love you guys. Good night.